The immune system is able to recognize and respond to many antigens. By generating great diversity in the antibodies produced by the B cells and in the antigen receptor expressed by the T cell. Okay, I was just telling you the other time that the B lymphocytes are responsible for the production of the antibody. And each lymphocyte produces, each B cells is producing only one kind of antibody. One kind of antibody. So for each different antibody, there is one specific B cell. Now the T lymphocyte, and I don't want to make the story too complicated, but the T lymphocyte has a receptor for the antigen, or better said for the epitope, has a receptor, which are different from the antibody molecule, but have the same story, the same variable region, the same constant region. So on the surface of the T lymphocyte, there is a structure which is not like an antibody, but in principle is the same philosophy. They have a variable site to recognize the antigen and the constant site. I think I have forgotten to tell you that the B lymphocyte, the B cell, not only is producing antibody, but has the antibody on the surface as a recognition site. So is not only secreting antibody, but it also has the antibody as antigen receptor on its surface. So the IgM or the IgG molecules are on the surface of the B lymphocyte as antigen receptors. Immunoglobulins are composed of a heavy and light chain. The light chain, there are two kinds of light chain, called kappa or lambda. There are two kinds of light chains, which are slightly different, which are called kappa or lambda. This is the Greek K or lambda, the Greek alphabet. The number of possible antigen binding sites, is the product of the number of heavy and light chains. We'll make a calculation later on. Immunoglobulin light chains are encoded by variable by V and J gene segment. We'll look how the gene is working and how we come to so much variability. Heavy chains are also encoded by V and J segment genes with additional diversity, we'll see as well. Diversity is achieved by the recombination of a limited number of VD genes. Okay, so I have now to play cards. Our immune system is playing cards. Exactly as we play cards. How? In order to get the variability. Now, I don't know how many combinations you can make with, I think 53 bridge cards, I don't know. Immunoglobulin heavy and light chains undergo structural modification after antigen stimulation called somatic mutation. This does not occur with T cell receptor. Okay, this is a little bit blah, blah, blah. But if we look at the variability of the immunoglobulin chains, so we have the variable heavy and the variable light, and the constant 1, 2, 3, and the constant here, we will see that there are a variability. We make a comparison between different antibodies. We make a list, 50, 200, 20, I don't know how many. You will see, as I told you before, that there is a very high variability here, especially at 30, 50, and 90. And this variability is just called, by definition, idiotypic structure. And we see also that in that region, there are also a kind of variability which is called allotypic. And the constant part is called isotypic. It's not so important, but these are definitions. And you see here what I just told you before, the base changes from light chains. We have here different proteins. myeloma protein, SAPC, OPC, SAP, etc., etc. So there are different proteins, light chains of different antibodies. And again, as I told you before, this is a high variability around 25, 50, and 90. Told before, but now you see that the analysis has been done on 7 different proteins. I'm just repeating what I've said before. The heavy chain is exactly the similar. There is a comparison here between one heavy chain variability, and you see again around 30, 50, and 100, there is the high variability. And I think this is confirming what I was telling you, that in these regions there is the antigen binding site. So the size of typical epitopes is for peptides between 10 and 20 amino acids. So I was telling you the other day that if you have a laboratory animal, a rabbit or a mouse, and we inject a protein, the antibody is not recognizing the whole protein. It's recognizing portion of the proteins. And in order to have a protein which is recognized by the immune system, it must have at least 10 to 20 amino acids. So if you inject a molecule which is too small, is not recognized by the immune system. So if you inject, a peptide made by 2 or 3 amino acids, it doesn't excite the immune system. The same is for polysaccharides. It needs about 10 to 20 sugar molecules attached together. If you inject the glucose or mannose or whatever is too small, is not recognized. And macromolecules like vitamin K, you can also inject rather big molecules. Vitamin K has a molecular weight of 570, as we will see. So this is the size necessary in order to be recognized by the immune system. So if you inject even very poison or terrible substances in our blood circulation, if the molecule is too small, it's not recognized. So vitamin K, for instance, to make a nice example, is this is the formula and has a molecular weight of 450. And it has been injected into a laboratory animal and has triggered the formation of antibodies. So this is human immunoglobulin G binding the derivative of vitamin K. And as you see here, just what I was telling before, is this is the vitamin K, is recognized by the heavy chain, and sites 30, around 30, around 100, and around 50, and they recognize by the light chain in a similar way, region 30, 90, and the 50 is not participating here. So you see how the heavy and light chain make a kind of cavity which recognize extremely specific antibody, hydroxyl vitamin, vitamin K. So this is how the system works. Extreme high specificity. So let's look how the K chain. Now, I told you before that the light chain, there are two kinds, K and L. So let's look starting from the DNA, the DNA which is going later on to produce the messenger RNA and the final kappa chain, how does it work? During the evolution or activation of the B lymphocytes, which are producing the immunoglobulin, they have at disposal several so-called variable site pieces of DNA. And so in the case of the kappa chain, these are about 30. So there are about 30 pieces which are encoding this variable part. And then we have 5 so-called J. I don't know why they call it J, but they have 5 of them. And then there is the constant part of the chain. So our B lymphocytes just can play card and take one of these and one of these, one of these and one of these, and so on and so forth, because there is a kind, it's called, this process is called splicing. So the system is selecting one of them, for instance, V2, one of the five, for instance, J4, and they are spliced together until we have the final messenger RNA, which is made, is generated by copying the V2, the G4, and the constant kappa. This is remaining constant. So at the end, we have the light chain. So we have 30 possibilities here, 5 possibilities here, that makes 150 different kappa chain. Is that clear? So there is a selection, a playing card by the B lymphocyte, which is going to be activated. First of all, there is a in the fetus, the first B cells are produced, but they are not yet ready. And then during evolution and after activation of the B lymphocyte by the antigen, there is a whole process which ends up, I'm not going to make the story here, ends up with one of these V and the CK. And somewhere there is also the J. So we have about 150 different kappa chains. Let's look for the other chains. For the lambda chain, the play is similar. It's not exactly the same, but it's similar. We have about 30 variable chains. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 30. Same card play. We have a combination of G1, C1, G1, C1. Here, there is no game like day before. The final product is made up by this variable here. So there are only 30 different lambda chains. Don't ask me why it works like that, but it's made up by 30 different lambda chains put together by this kind of game. Who did this work? This work was done by Suzumu Tonegawa. I think is one of the most genial work I ever seen in biology. If you read the original papers of Tonegawa, you will see that there is a lot of brain in this work. Usually biology, you know, is work in the laboratory, work in laboratory, work in laboratory. And then you have the results. But here Tonegawa, at that time was working in Basel, in Zurich. In Basel, in Switzerland. And now he's back to Japan. He worked almost alone. He did all the work alone. It was a fantastic work. Of course, he got the Nobel Prize for that about 30 years ago. But he's the person who find out all this story. So 30 different lambda chains. For the heavy chain, is a little bit more complicated, but the story is exactly the same. We have about 50 variable, 1, 2, 3, V, 50. Then there is a diversity DNA, piece of DNA. These are intron in between, intron which are not then translated in the last product. And then we have about 30, D1, D2, D30. And then we have the J as before, 1, 2, which are 6. So we have 3. We have the variable, we have the D, and we have the J's. And these are not exact numbers, but these approximate 50, 30, 6, makes 9,000 different combination of variable heavy change, 9,000. So now if we make the final calculation, we have 150 kappa change. We have 30 lambda chains. We have 9,000 heavy chains. It makes 40,500,000 different antibodies. So simply by playing cards, our immune system can build up. This is not the exact number. I didn't count them, but this is what you can expect. So in principle, if you go and you synthesize in your laboratory a peptide or a polysaccharide or a molecule which satisfies the condition which I told you before, which has never been in nature, you made a new product, but it must be at least 10 amino acids, at least 10 to 20 sugar residues, or a molecule which has a molecular weight about 1,000, you will find in the immune system a B cell which is capable of synthesizing the corresponding antibody. So the principle is simple. If the immune system can play cards as I'm playing here, then it's easy. It was not so easy to find out how it works. I told you just one mechanism. I'm one mechanism, which is gene selection, playing card, and splicing. But there are different other mechanisms which I'm not going to discuss, just for information. There are other way to arrive at a different variability in the antibodies, which are called multiple genes, as different, as I told you, somatic mutation. There could be a mutation in the DNA of the antibody molecules, a somatic recombination, gene conversion. They are all mechanisms of molecular biology, and they could be also an addition of nucleotide, so changes in the DNA of the antibody molecules. So with this, I think I have tried to explain you what is the structure of an antibody. It's a very interesting molecule, has a variable site which recognizes the epitope of the antigen, and has a constant site which is also very important, which is recognized by the macrophage, which has the job of the macrophage, or one of the jobs is to destroy the antigen, and there is a special site of recognition when the antibody molecules change its structure, and there is the complement on the other side which is attaching to the antibody, which has been attached to the antigen, and the complement, as I told you the other day, is done making the antigen-antibody complex more tasty for the macrophages. So let's switch to the other and then make a short stop. We enter now the cell. So the first part of tonight was dedicated to the molecule of the antibody. Let's move now to the cells of the immune system and look how they work together. As I was telling you the other day, this has nothing to do with the lesion. These are, I have to change.